Hello everyone, this is Industry Insights, the European Film Markets podcast of Berlinale Film Festival, which is about and for film and media industry. The podcast features long episodes as an year-round series and spotlights highly topical and transcending industry issues. But this episode, however, is a special one. My name is Tamara, I come from Georgia and I'm here as an international industry consultant, and I will be hosting this special episode, which is co-developed and produced in cooperation with Goethe Institute. Normally, these episodes are reflecting the industry issues, sustainability, the future of audiovisual markets, but today, we are responding, and this is a common effort to respond to the fully scaled Russian military invasion of sovereign country of Ukraine. It is our joint attempt to understand what's happening with our friends and colleagues from film industry on spot in Ukraine. And it will be our attempt to see how an international film and media community can support them. What are the support mechanisms that are meaningful and how can we advance them in the future? And in this difficult conversation, I am delighted to welcome three wonderful female guests. And firstly, I need to welcome Yulia Sinkevich, who is a prolific Ukrainian film professional and who is connecting to us from Ukraine right now. Many of you here will know that Yulia is a former executive producer of Odessa International Film Festival. She's been a consultant to many projects in Ukraine and internationally, and she also acts as an independent producer now. Thank you very much, Yulia, for finding time while being in Ukraine on soil to be part of this conversation.
Thank you so much.
Next to the round is a Georgian filmmaker and producer, Katie Majavariani. Some of you will know her from a very well-known film called Salt White, which premiered in Carlo Vivari Film Festival a couple of years ago. Her recent documentary titled Sunny premiered in Hot Dogs, and Katie has numerous colleagues and friends in Ukraine, and I'm sure that she has things to say. The last but not the least, of course, is our wonderful colleague from Germany, representing German producing company Elemac Pictures, Tanja Gergieva-Weldhauer, who is German-based but is of Bulgarian origin, and who has direct experience of co-producing with Ukrainian talent. To name few is the film Volcano by Roman Bandarchuk. I know that Tanya also works with Daria Dasha Basel, representing the local documentary film festival. And obviously, we are all here in solidarity to make some of our colleagues understand the gravity of the situation that is happening on site in Ukraine right now. In our industry, we used to say that we like to create moving images that are impactful to make our society a better place to be, that we think that the films that we are producing or making are making us more empathetic. We discuss a lot of this in different platforms, forums, even in chats and drinks that film industry likes to use as a networking field. But today I turn to Yulia and I need to ask her what's happening on European soil when there is a fully fledged war, when one person, a dictator, has decided to revisit the European political map and entered a sovereign country of Ukraine. This is how I understand it. And it's also a reality, and let's be open, that there are still people who do not fully grasp what's happening in Ukraine right now. And Yulia is the best place to tell us, did this war really start on February 24, Yulia, or what has been the precondition for that? How do you see this? What's the insider context?
Well, first of all, of course, this war, like, technically started on February 24th, but of course, there have been many talks and warnings for several months before. that Russia might invade Ukraine, that they are gathering troops around the borders of Ukraine from three sides. If you look at the map of Ukraine, we are surrounded now by Russian troops and military. And of course, on the first place, when it all happened, and many people did not believe till the very last moment that it can actually happen. Our war, or let's say the war against us, against Ukraine, started in 2013-2014, when annexation of Crimea happened, when the eastern part of Ukraine was invaded, and so-called DNR and LNR republics were formed, whatever this is. Like, it's not any legal legal entity whatsoever. And we knew that for the past 8 years, that might happen any moment, because obviously that was not enough. The status of those territories is unclear. And when in the night it actually happened and the whole country was awakened by the bombings, by this rude declaration of war to Ukraine, or they call it denazification of Ukraine, which is complete nonsense. Of course, you don't know how to react at first. You are shocked. You think of your family, you think of your relatives, you think of the people who are close to you. You try to figure out and gather all the thoughts. It's also so mean when this happens in the middle of the night, when the whole country is asleep, and of course you just wake up out of this awful shock. I don't know, it's I haven't been sleeping for the past 2 weeks, actually, almost didn't sleep, like barely, a couple of hours a night, waking up every night because of the sirens, because of the news, because of the messages, and because of everything. And on the first place, we are human beings, and we don't think professional at this moment. Like, we think of our lives at this moment, and we don't think about the film industry. That's the basic value, you know, to think of your yourself and your family. But of course, after the first shock was over, more or less, of course we think of what are we, what is our profession, and what can we do under these circumstances. And our filmmakers immediately reacted and started filming, because it's not only art, but it's also a proof of what's happening, because the world has to see what is actually happening, and they are documenting and filming all the crimes which are happening here in Ukraine at the moment.
Thank you very much. I completely understand that this is absolutely not easy to talk about it right now. So thanks for your energy for being here with us. And I think that I would like to turn to Katie, who is from Georgia, as I am myself, and who sadly has an experience of knowing what does it mean when your country is invaded. And that brings me to not only to the Soviet history as such, but it's 2008 when Russian invasion happened in Georgia. And I think, Katie, for you as well, this very strange transformation of being an artist and filmmaker, then suddenly finding yourself as a citizen who needs to understand that you are under an attack, that the country is under attack. This is something that you went through. You know how it feels. So maybe you come in and share your perspective on this situation.
Yes, I am from country in which Russia occupied almost 20% of our land, and I understand that the size of invasion is very different, but I still remember this feeling when we were getting information from almost 50 kilometers from capital Tbilisi, and then one night suddenly this sound of bombs woke up and all city were out. So we can share this, but comparing, it's not worth to compare, because it's a same feeling of being attacked, and then you start to be to transform, to face how to face this aggression, and to be citizen, to help somehow your friends whenever they are. So I'm a bit emotional, but still I can't it's our duty, and it's our we have to somehow reach our voices to society, because in 2008 it was a bit difficult to give to whole world information what happened in Georgia, and we were victims of invasion, Russian invasion, that it was not only small conflict in one region of Georgia, but it was invasion of one country to the territory of another country.
Yes, it is. And I think there's been an enormous bravery of Ukrainian filmmakers who have, in my personal view, opposed to dictatorship in the most efficient way. And what I mean here is that, to the best of my understanding, dictatorship normally feeds on chaos and on despair. This is why it really exists. But what I'm seeing in this world that is also equipped with digital innovation tools, with us being connected now here online, what our peers are doing in Ukraine, they are so organized. They are really transforming from artistic division into some kind of a newsfeed, humanitarian, you name it, division, and really acting proactively while being on soil of Ukraine. So, Yulia, you, I think, have been part of many local networks that are in different actions right now. Would you confirm that you are like really extremely
Yes.
organized, if I may say it, on site?
That's true, because once the first shock, as I said, was over, people started to think what they can do, what will be the best place for them to do, like men, filmmakers, or let's say people of culture, men of culture, made sure that their family are safe, that their children are in safe place, because children, they don't have to have these memories. I mean, they don't have to be here. This is not the memories you need for kids. So, and then they returned and came back, and it's a war on every level. It's being on the front line. Many actors, directors are actually in either civil defense units or actually joined the army. Many are working as journalists or filmmakers, actually filming what's going on. Some are volunteering at various activities, because it's also humanitarian aid. It's taking care of older people. It's helping children. It's organizing evacuations. Some people are working as drivers, whatever they need to deliver or to organize. Some are very, very much working on informational field, because it's also a war, informational war, because there are very many fakes, and the words of Russian media, if you can call them that, I mean, they say the lies and they turn things upside down. And it's also important to deliver the information that what is happening here is not normal for the 21st century. With me, I'm also, I was working with international press, helping also to cover the events of the first and one week and a half of the events which were happening in Ukraine until the moment I actually had to leave Kyiv because it's really getting too dangerous. And also, I cannot, unfortunately, disclose what is exactly happening out of security reasons. I never imagined I can say that, but there are many initiatives which are happening, and I'm here more effective being a little bit away from Kyiv to supply those who stayed there with resources they need and with ammunition and protection, and also help on the level of information and speaking out and deliver the truth.
Your message is fully understood, and there is absolutely no need to disclose anything in this very sensitive situation. And I will move to Tanya now, who normal circumstances is a producer co-producing with different talent, and Ukraine's being on your map, right? You've been there, you have colleagues, you have friends, and I know that since February 24 you have found a role in as a supporting person to somehow make yourself useful with many of your peers to what's happening in Ukraine. So maybe you could expand on what's happening on your ground in support of Ukrainian colleagues.
Yes, of course. I have to say, like, from the very beginning, that I've been following the events around Ukraine since a while. I am co-producing with Ukraine since 2012 already. The Ukrainian Sheriffs by Roman Bondarchuk have been my first Ukrainian co-production. And in the last days and weeks before the 24th of February, I was really very much involved into, I wasn't really involved in the events, but I was following those events, and I could feel this tension coming up. We've been even openly discussing in this co-production team I've been offering already days before to my co-producers that they can come to my place, that we would save them, and they rejected, of course. They wanted to stay at home, and I felt when the events really started, the invasion, the night of the 24th of February, I felt an extreme sadness and anger as I have never felt before, I really have to say. And I couldn't really place on my feelings, and have been literally happy about a message from my co-producers the morning after, when they wrote me that it's super nice that we offer to pick them up at the border and to offer them a safe place at our place. But what they really need is some equipment. They wrote directly, we need equipment to shoot, and we need equipment to protect ourselves while we shoot. And that's how this supporting role, I mean, I don't know if it's really a role, but because it's not myself, I'm not alone. There are many other colleagues in Germany who are doing this with me. So it's just a coincidence that I am sitting here. There are many people behind, like Mark Bauder, Gebrüder Beetz, Maria Wischnewski, Wolfgang Bergmann, and many others. We also managed to start a call for donations, and we managed to get a lot of support from the Produzentenverband. So that's the German Producers Association, from the German Film Academy, from the German Academy for Television, from AGIDOC, so that's the Association of German Documentary Filmmakers, and they're supporting us not only like officially by spreading our call for donations or even donating themselves, but also a lot of members from those organizations are giving their best, they are driving, they're picking people up from the border, they're donating equipment and money, and we are trying to find a structure in how to provide our colleagues with the equipment they need, and how to help them also to spread the word. I'm also due to the action or initiative from Hans Robert Eisenhower, so some people might know him quite well from his previous job at Arte. He made a very well connection to a lot of German commissioning editors for documentaries, and we are currently now trying to get them on board to a lot of Ukrainian production, speed productions which are done already or just in the development or in the beginning, and we're just trying to, as I said, give them a voice somehow. And also, and also that a lot of people are trying to get in touch with German cinemas, theaters and festivals and trying to show Ukrainian films, and not only because they want to collect some money with this and to really directly support Ukrainian colleagues with the money, but also, as I said, to give them a possibility to show their own point of view on Ukraine.
Thank you very much, Tanya. And you've pointed out something important to which I fully agree. I think that we are here, four of us now, but we represent many. And that is an important thing to say. And I will avoid really going one by one, because luckily there's been a lot of initiatives that tried to make themselves useful and helpful, even though myself being originally from Georgia and knowing a bit what our colleagues in Ukraine are going through now, there's no support that is enough and nothing is really sufficient. But, you know, the feeling being connected and really trying to be taking a collective action as a community is something very important, not only for our dear colleagues in Ukraine, but for all of us, because we are in this together. This is what I personally really believe. So it's us speaking, but of course there are numerous initiatives who are, you know, pointed or made focal towards the invasion of Ukraine that we are witnessing. Katie, you've been also very active participant of Georgian actions of the same kind. Could you briefly overview your part of the world, so to say?
Comparing the need, which our colleagues and the whole Ukrainian, society has, it's a tiny, like a drop in the sea. But we tried to raise funding for helmets and jackets for Ukrainian filmmaker, not for Ukraine, but filmmakers from whole world, to that they feel safer while shooting, and giving, collecting information for whole world about this horrible war. And the second, as Tanya mentioned, we have my colleagues organized retrospective for Ukrainian films, and whole cities covered with the posters, and we are trying to reach even local society to acknowledge them what happened since 2014 of 13, that this is not this started not from 2 weeks ago, but years ago, and that's 2 days ago we had a live conversation with Roman Bondarchuk after his screening of his film Ukrainian Sheriffs, and whole audience was crying and supporting him. He was in with his family and driving. It is weird, but I think even one word, even one applaud in this very tough time can support filmmakers. I don't know how to express.
Yeah, it's fine. You're touch basing on something equally important, and that is the power of cinema. And I hope that we will not be discussing it in the context of the actual war for a long time, but all of us here in this call are used to discussing the power of cinema as such, and whether films are predicting something that may happen, or if they are really making audiences being a bit more aware of the issues that the world is facing. And sometimes for an individual viewer, it means to leave your comfort zone, right, Yulia, and to understand what's happening in other countries, in other contexts, and accept it the way it is. So I wonder if you actually had time, Yulia, to think about it, which are very strange times for that. But in this chaos and in this movement, in these actions that you take, do you still think of film as a powerful communicator, as a powerful weapon, as some people call it?
Absolutely. And actually, I'm in a late post-production stage with my project. And the problem is now that all the materials are hard to deliver to a safer place. And of course, I'm worried that this work might be lost or something might happen. But despite of that, of course, I think that cinema is a super powerful tool. And of course, there will be many, many films afterwards, and we will be reflecting on the events for at least a decade, I think. And I was asked recently, how do I see the future of Ukrainian film industry in that context? Like, what kind of vector will be? Yeah, what is the direction of the development? And I see it clearly that most likely it will be a Balkan scenario. Yeah, the scenario of Balkan films. So we will be associated with these events for longest time. And of course, it's been only 2 weeks, let's say only, but it feels like ages. It feels like entire different life for this past 2 weeks. But still, even now, there are artistic videos which are made and reflecting what's happening here. And all the initiatives which are connected with showcasing Ukrainian films all over the world, it's very important because it gives understanding of our talents, of the topics related to Ukraine, not necessarily directly with war events of today or of 2014, but in general, that this is how we are, this is who we are, and these are our talents, and there are many talents, and we want to be heard, and we are part of this world cinema, and we want to be there, and we have the whole right to be there. But of course, we all are now thinking that these 2 weeks changed our society dramatically. And we are not the same anymore. It might sound quite big, but that's true. And that's the reality, that things will be completely different after this is over. And hopefully it will be over soon. We don't know that, of course. We can only hope for now.
Tanya, what's your take on the power of cinema and its ability to connect people despite the difficulty of the subject matter?
Well, how to say, well, an older me would have said that that's one of the main topics, main drives of my producer work. So that's a strongly believe in the power of cinema and film and its ability to build bridges between people and so tell us something about other people. I also have to say that even though I'm sitting here in a very safe place and had a warm shower in the morning and a hot coffee and I'm really far away of what's happening in Ukraine, I also feel that the last 2 weeks changed a lot forever, for a while, and also even for myself. Ukraine has a very, very strong, talented people skilled with so many great skills and people who have so great ideas and are really strong professionals. And I would say it's really time for Ukrainian cinema to come up and to be shown, and also for some real Ukrainian voices, because it's also what I understand in the conversations with my Ukrainian colleagues. They really suffer from the fact that they feel that the rest of the world is looking at them only in connection to Russia. So like Ukraine in somehow connected to Russia, but there's so much more in and about Ukraine to tell about Ukraine, Ukrainian history, culture, and people. And so that's why I would completely agree with Yulia. I'm looking forward to all the Ukrainian films you would be able to watch in future, telling us more about this country.
We need to mention something which our colleagues from Ukraine have been very actively delivering as a message, and Yulia is the best place to explain the context to the people who tune in to listen to this podcast. Correct me if I'm wrong, Yulia, but it's kind of the full majority of Ukrainian talent who thinks that requests, demands from international film community to boycott the cooperation with Russian state machine, correct? To boycott the and that being a response to what's happening in Ukraine right now. And even though it's not difficult for me to grasp why, I've been asked about the explanations since this whole thing is escalating. And I think that it's only fair to actually offer your insight and your explanation to everyone, despite their nationality and, you know, geographical belonging, why it is so important now for you, representing an Ukrainian film industry, to stand for this boycott.
Actually, even though here we all agreed that cinema is a powerful tool, but this tool can be also used as propaganda. And Russia has been doing this for many years in all medias. It's not only films, it's we all know about the media. The, let's say, Russia Today TV channel is present in many, many countries, newspapers, other online medias, and films as well. And here, when the whole world in different spheres, sports, business, major film studios in the US, they all understand that there can't be business as usual with Russia when such an aggression, such a barbaric aggression is happening in the 21st century, in the middle of Europe, and you just cannot do business as usual like it was before. Of course, I was very much actually surprised because I thought that cultural community is very responsive to political events, especially. And now I hear a lot the rhetorics that culture is out of politics, that there are a lot of opposition filmmakers, for example, who were doing critical films in Russia. But let's look at this from another point of view. These films were financed by the Ministry of Culture of Russia. They were allowed to do that because there are such filmmakers or activists or public figures in Russia who seem to be in opposition, or maybe they are in opposition and they are allowed to be so until the certain point and certain moment. And now we see that they started to speak up. But this is... Now we see that this is not how it should be, and also the films they bring benefits to Russia, either if it's an image benefits or actually revenues from the film sales. So how can you sponsor basically the war in Ukraine? I mean, this is how we perceive that. And if we talk about co-production with Russia, how can you co-produce with an aggressor? And as I said, like, all major spheres responded to this directly, but cultural field is a bit vague. And I understand this because I will tell you just very tiny detail so you might understand till what point it's actually happening. I remember that several years ago, maybe 5 years ago, we were organizing Ukrainian Film Week in Strasbourg, in a very small cinema with only one screening room. It's very tiny, nice old cinema. And they had this newspaper, like a program of the schedule of screenings and so on. And I asked something about this newspaper, and they said that Russians are actually sponsoring the publishing of this little paper, you know, it's like 4 pages, 6 pages program leaflet of the cinema. And except of the actual schedule, they also place different information, articles, whatever. So this is how deep this propaganda actually is there. And I understand that, of course, when this whole image is turning upside down for many people and they cannot accept this. But we really think that until the moment the last soldier, Russian soldier or Russian tank will leave our territory, you cannot do business or dialogue or whatever with Russians. I'm sorry.
Katie, you will have an opinion on that.
So I agree with Julia because, you know, sometimes we have like personal ties with, we have friends in Russia and we have working together for years. But I think in world history knows the examples when whole country, whole nation was sharing responsibility for their regimes. So I think filmmakers are not exception and they should take responsibility for a violent regime, despite if their part, a small part, was protesting or against of this regime. But sometimes it's necessary for a while to think, rethink what, why it happened, why this violent regime has root, such a deep root in their society.
I can also add one more thing that as many filmmakers, or let's say many people know, but maybe not all of them, that main film school, the biggest film school in Moscow, recognized and actually agreed with the aggression towards Ukraine. They said that they support this. So what kind of filmmakers are we talking about? Like what kind of generation they're going to educate and in which way?
I think it has a history. All we know why these dictators are like, why dictators have society, because it's a kind of demand from society. And that's why we filmmakers, we have responsibility to, because we have tools to reach a big audience. So somehow to prevent kind of dictatorship in our country. So.
Where to start? Where to start? I understand completely the intention from the bottom of my heart, and I really understood even better yesterday in the morning when I was in a gas station here in Germany and was just getting some gas for my car. And this lady in the gas station started telling me that she's having a friend in Russia, and this friend called her, and that she would like to tell me that I shouldn't listen to the German media, and all of them are lying, and all people in all people in the Soviet Union. That's what she really used, this expression, in the Soviet Union. All people are so happy and grateful that Putin is finally keeping the Nazis away from the Soviet Union. And I was so shocked by listening to her, because I was really, okay, where should I start? Maybe we should start at the point that the Soviet Union doesn't exist since decades anymore. So, and that was the moment in which I really, I felt it to the core of my bones, why it's so important to in also involve culture and cultural politics into all of this discussions and fights and events. And I, all the people I have been talking about in Germany, also my Norwegian co-producers from Israel, from other countries in the last days and weeks, all of them, that's at least my bubble, agree completely that it's extremely necessary to stop any collaboration to any official state-related, be it company or broadcaster organization, theater, festival, whoever who's any in any way officially connected to the Russian government and the Putin regime, let's say it like this. But there's really a slight but. I also know that also all of them I have been talking about really seriously worry about some Russian filmmakers or friends they have, so people who had to flee the country in the last couple of days or weeks or have or imprisoned. And I meet, how to say it, I as I said, I really understand the intention and the idea behind the complete boycott on any collaboration with Russia, and I support it. I just would like to say that I think that at some point, at a certain point, we would need to start thinking about the Russian people who are opposing Putin and trying to raise their voices, because I think that well, at a certain level, we are kind of supporting Putin if we really reject them completely, because those people are isolated and they're in Russia on the society. And I think it's important to, yeah, to shake hands with them somehow and to pull them even stronger our direction, but
I cannot agree with that at this moment, because it's a problem of a completely different level, because 2 days ago one of the famous actors died. He was killed because he was not doing what he is supposed to do. He was not acting in film. He took the firearm and he went to defend his country. And now they had to defend themselves before. Like, they had to oppose this. Like, we are defending and we are united now because that's the response. I mean, that's by choice, but we have no choice. We have to defend ourselves. And I think that this is a problem of a different level now, because here it's about survival for filmmakers, for talents who are brilliant people. It's about survival of them and their family. And it's not about survival now in Russia. It's a survival in maybe in profession, in freedom of movement, but it's not about their lives.
Though I would say that this is a really existential ringing bell for all of us, for Yulia, for Tanya, for Ketty, and hundreds and millions of other people who some listen to us now, but others there, because there's no neutrality to what's happening at this stage anymore. Yeah. And I think that cinema, in one way or another, has been talking about the subject matter, and we know, sadly, the war in Ukraine is not the first war that we are seeing in this world. And I think that collective responsibility to the full scale, to some extent, which has been just voiced here, is an important thing, because this is how we can stand up together and be part of a very complex process, but somehow aim to come out healthier. But before we do that, and before the industry discusses whatever will be on different platforms and interviews, I think there is one important truth, and there is only one desire, that is the victory, and that this victory needs to stand with Ukraine.
Yes.
That is what the only thing that all of us can wish for. I don't see any other sense in our actions, and whatever is the price, we need to collectively pay for it, because this is how we will not be implanting a small dictator somewhere else in the world. And I think this is the key for us to stop being neutral, to put ourselves in the shoes of others, to understand the gravity of the situation, and to understand that this war is happening in Europe. It's not framed somewhere in a tiny little region that have things which they cannot decide upon. So, to my regret, this is one of the talks that will be followed by many around the topics that three of you have touched based upon. I think it's time to say very special thanks to Yulia to being so constructive and for participating in this talk. All our thoughts are with you, and we only wish for one.
Thank you so much.
To we see you soon, and that we all take responsibility for social integration and show community support, which is normally sad, to really lessen the mental and the physical trauma that war projects on you right now.
Thank you so much.
This was an Industry Insights European Film Markets podcast, co-developed and produced in cooperation with Goethe Institute. Thank you very much to our speakers, Ketty, Tanya, and Yulia. Goodbye.